Oh, good morning to all of you. Imagine that you won a prize, and the prize you won was pennies. You bought a bag full of pennies. And next to this is the prize. You know, we don't think pennies is much, but go to our first slide, Jarrett. The grand prize is 86,400 pennies. And pennies aren't worth much, but 864,000, 86,400 would be $864 a month. And the rules are this, that you can spend all of it or none of it. And at the end, and at the beginning of every day, you get another $864 worth of pennies. So you can spend it or you don't have to spend it. You can upgrade your fishing equipment or buy, you know, go to Disneyland and do whatever you want, but you don't have to use it. But what you don't spend during the day, at the end of the day, the remaining amount will be withdrawn. You cannot transfer the money to somebody else's account. Every morning, the bank deposits another 86,400 pennies for that day. And the prize money, the reward can end at any time without any notice. Well, what would you do with that money? It's a lot of money, but it's not like billions of dollars. What would you do? Would you spend it wisely? Would you try to use it up every day so that you don't lose any of it? Or would you let it sit in the bank account and let it go to waste? Well, in reality, the prize is this. Go to our next slide. The prize is time. We get 86,400 seconds a day. Every day, every morning when you wake up, excuse me, you have 86,400 seconds as a gift of life. And what we do or don't, how we use that time, whatever, we don't use it wisely, we don't use it productively, that time is lost at the end of the day. You cannot make up lost time. And our time can run out at any time without warning. So what will you do with your seconds? What will you do with your days? What will you do with your time? Will you waste it or will you use it wisely? The Lord Jesus Christ traveled around the Israel hill country and from village to village, and Jesus went around looking for trouble. Isn't that interesting? Jesus went around looking for trouble. He wasn't a troublemaker, but he was looking for troubled people. People who were hurting. People who needed help. Because Jesus wanted to invest his time in these people to bring them good, to help them and to heal them. So let's look in our sermon outline in your bulletin to Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease. And then when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed by the devil. They were helpless in their sin, and they were scattered. They had no direction. Verse 37, he says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" If you're here today and you're worshiping with us, God is calling you to be a worker, to go out into that field of people and work the harvest. See, Jesus could see that they were harassed and helpless. They had no direction. They didn't know what they're doing with their lives. They didn't know where they're supposed to be going. When we are lost in our feelings and emotions, we often find ourselves confused. When our emotions overwhelm us, we react instead of responding wisely. We get scared, we get confused, and we get lost because of our feelings and emotions. So this is the last sermon of my series on feelings and emotions, living beyond your feelings and emotions. And over the last few weeks, we have learned how you can tame your emotions. We learned how we can make our feelings behave. Stop letting them act like a 3-year-old. Bring them under control. Bring them to maturity so they can serve us instead of us serving them. If you missed a sermon, or if you have a friend that wants to hear it, we have sermons online, and we also have CDs in the front entrance. So if you miss one, they're good sermons. They will help you help people. God gave us emotions, to review, God gave us emotions to enjoy. They enrich our lives. God also gave us emotions to empower us, because passionate people get things done. And God wants us to use them to glorify Him and to do good for others. We can use them wisely to help other people, invest in them, or we can waste all of those feelings and emotions on us. So how do we do this? If we look at our first point of our outline, it says this: love must be our motivation and method. If we want to follow God's plan and let God use us to do good, love must be our motivation and our method. We become emotionally healthy when we obey God's greatest commandment. When we understand God's commandment and we obey it, we are emotionally, spiritually, and mentally healthy. Mark 12:30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. I assure you, I guarantee you, if we can help people understand this commandment, live it out, believe it, and walk in it, they will be emotionally healthy. See, love must be our attitude and our action in order to do good for others. Our love compels us to serve others. Our love and the joy we get from it makes that ministry less of a burden. First, we need to think about Jesus. You know, we need to think about Jesus all the time. You heard the saying that you become what you think about the most. If you're thinking about a sinful behavior, a sinful attitude, that's what you're going to become. But if you think about Jesus and who Jesus is and what He wants you to be, you fill your thoughts with Him. You become more and more like Jesus. And then we think about others. We think about the people around us. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do you realize how countercultural this is? In today's world, our world teaches us, think about yourself. Put yourself first. Don't think about others. But Jesus says, no, the more you think about me, the more you will think about the people around you. How do you know if you are walking with God and in His commandments and in His way? You think about God and you think about others. The more you think about Jesus, the more you will think about others. Lastly, we think about eternity. The problems we face today are nothing compared to the glory of God, the joy waiting for us in heaven. And so God wants us to think about Him, think about others, think about eternity, because the work we do today will make a difference for tomorrow. And so we need to help people understand that love must be our motivation, love must be our method. Look at this next slide. We talked about this before. Hurt people hurt people. When people are angry with me, I shared how some people have hurt me in the past. I can show them grace because I know hurt people are hurting inside. They're hurting inside. That's why they lash out and hurt other people. Our response to those people is love people, love people. People who understand what love is, and when we love them as believers, whether they're believers or non-believers, family or friends, they will be able to love others. People who are hurting need loving people in their lives. So when we look out and we see people are hurting, God says, go. That's the harvest field. I know we don't want to, because people who are hurting usually are troubled people. And we don't want to get wrapped up in their trouble. No, we're supposed to go minister to them and show them the love of God. The easiest way to do this is simply to invite someone to your small group, to your group of friends, so that you can work together to help them understand what love is. There's strength in numbers when we love people. Our second point says this: God does not want you to waste a hurt. You wonder, how can I serve someone? How can I help someone? I have no gifts. I have no abilities. Well, you have had hurts in the past. We all have emotional scars. We all have emotional pain. They may not be visible, but they are there. And they have hurt us deeply. I didn't know how hurt I could be until I became a pastor. I have some deep hurts, deep scars from being a pastor that I've never shared with anyone. I may never share them with anyone. But my feelings were deeply hurt. And you think, well, what do you do with that? I mean, it's there. You know they're there, but you don't know what to do with it. Excuse me. What do you do with that scar of rejection, the scar of failure, the scar of embarrassment? Well, Proverbs 16:9 says this, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. See, we can follow that hurting heart and let it lead us into darkness or into anger or into fear. Or we can follow the Lord's path. If we follow our hurting heart, this is what happens. If we go to our next slide. If we follow our hurting heart, it becomes an anchor that holds back. You know, the purpose of an anchor is to hold a ship or a boat in place. And oftentimes when we have an emotional hurt, it becomes a heavy anchor that keeps us from moving beyond our pain and our feelings. We just stay in them and it gets heavier and heavier. The hurt keeps us from growing and thriving. The hurt keeps us from building healthy relationships. Maybe that hurt makes you lash out easily at people in anger. Maybe it makes you act out in stupid ways or turn into addictive behavior. Maybe you check out on the human race and you just go into deep depression and withdrawal. That hurt becomes an anchor, becomes an excuse for all your future failures and why you don't serve God. If you want to follow your heart, that hurting heart, it will be an anchor. And God does not want you to do that. Instead, God wants you to use that hurt to follow His path. And so the next thought is this. It becomes a compass leading you, pointing you in the right direction. You know, the purpose of a compass is to give you direction. When we are hurting, we can go to our God who loves us and who forgives us, who wants to heal our hearts. And when we are hurting, God says, I know, my son, I went through it. Jesus Christ went through all that hurt, that just like you did. And He'll give you grace and forgiveness of sin and calm your soul down. And once God has forgiven you and received His grace, you can see a pathway. You can see the Lord's pathway. When you gain grace and understanding, you know what God wants you to do with what you've learned from that hurt. See, God doesn't want you to waste a hurt. He wants you to turn that hurt into a ministry to help someone going through that same problem. Tell me what hurt you have overcome or what dark valley you have gone through. And when someone tells me that they're going through the same problem, I will have them come talk to you. Whenever someone wants to join our church and be a member, I ask them to share me your testimony. I want to know what scars you have. I want to know what victories you have so I can use you to minister to someone else. After all, who better to advise someone going through cancer than someone who's been through cancer and overcome it? Who better to help a young person going through an abusive time than someone who's been abused and gone through that dark valley? This is how you grow spiritually stronger. It's a compass. God says, start here in your pain and go this direction. I want you to grow stronger. I want you to thrive and to live. We may make a mistake or we may go through a hurt, but instead of letting that hurt keep hurting you and going through it daily every time you think about it, you learn from that mistake. You learn from that hurt that God will rise you above it, that you can conquer it through the grace of God. And when you stop making that same mistake, when you stop letting that hurt rule your life, you can turn around and help someone else not make the same mistake or to overcome their hurt. That's how we grow spiritually. God wants whatever you're going through today, whether it's a failure or a victory, because sometimes we need to learn how to manage our victories too. God wants it to be a compass pointing you in a due direction. So our goal is to help people and to do good. And if we look at our third point, it says this, how to encourage others. How do you use your EQ, that emotional quotient, who you are, your personality, to encourage others? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We encourage people mainly with our words and our presence. See, God wants you to become a bodybuilder. Have you ever seen a bodybuilder? They got muscles. But he doesn't want you to be a muscle builder. He wants you to be a spiritual body builder. He wants you to become a spiritual trainer to help people who are hurting. He wants you to build them up mentally and spiritually and emotionally. And we do this primarily through encouraging them. That's my whole ministry as a pastor, encouraging people to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, encouraging people not to lose hope, encouraging people to break addictions. And that is your primary ministry as a believer. And the first thing we need to do is be positive. You know, one of my big failings as a human being is I often look at people and just judge them instantly. You know, like by their dress, their height, their looks. You know, that's one of our failings as human beings. We want to be negative. Oh, that person doesn't look good. That person looks bad. You know, it's always easier to be negative and easily point out the failures of others than it is to be positive. You know, we're always waiting for someone to make a mistake and say, I told you so. I knew you were going to do it. That's negative thinking. And said, God says, be positive. Use positive words. Say what is, did I read Ephesians 4:29? No, let's read it. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Everything we say should be good and helpful. Now, we're not telling lies. We're not giving false praise. But we want to be good and helpful to build people up. We say good and helpful words. When we look at people, we see their potential with Jesus' eyes. Jesus looked at these harassed and helpless people and saw potential in the kingdom of God. Positive words might be this. Maybe they're going through a hurt. Maybe they fell in sin. And we say, hey, let's look at this as a learning experience. What is God teaching you? How can you grow from this? Where do we go from here? You know, if they understand they've sinned and they sinned, you help them confess their sins. Where do we go from here? See, God wants us to think the best about people, believe the best about people, and pray the best about people. If we have positive thinking, we will be willing to help people. But if you've already given up on people, you're not going to help them. See, God wants believers to be people builders, not people users. This world is full of people users. We want to use people. We want them to do what we want and act the way we want. But God says, no, no, no. You speak positive words of encouragement and build people up. And I want you to take a moment now and think about, is there someone you know that you can change your attitude towards? That you can be an encourager and a builder. So be positive. The second thing is we need to be prayerful. 2 Corinthians 1:11. And you are helping us by praying for us. This is the mighty Apostle Paul. And he's telling the people, you are helping me by praying for me. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. We need to pray for people. Paul recognized that the prayers of others, he recognized their prayers and he was grateful for it. He was saying, God is answering the prayers. I am spreading the gospel. We always start with prayer. We be positive, then we pray in positive ways. And so that means you make a list, a prayer list of people you work with or live with, or you go to school with, or you socialize with, or people here at church that you know that need help. You make a list and you put it on that list. You stick it in your Bible. You stick it on your desk where you go to every day and you pray for people. Now people say, well, you know, I throw up a prayer. Is it just a meaningless gesture? No. You pray and you be specific in your prayers. Then you get your head and your heart and your hands aligned in the right direction when we pray. Because when we pray for people in detail, it helps us think about them. It helps us put them on our head and our heart. And so I know if I am going through life and I meet someone that I've been praying for, I know I'm ready to encourage them. I know what I need to do and what I need to say. Are you praying for someone? Do you have people on a list that you know are hurting that need help? Are you praying for them? And then when it is appropriate, let people know that you are praying for them. Let them know that you're thinking about that, you're concerned for them, that you have compassion for them. Even unbelievers appreciate people praying for them. It has to kind of be appropriate, you know, especially if it's in a crisis or they have medical issues or family issues. You go to lunch with them, you listen to them, you say, can I pray for you? And then you check in on them a couple of days later, how are things going? See, when you do that, when they know that you're checking in on them, when you're praying for them, you are building bridges to them. You're ministering to them. Prayer is powerful, but it's only powerful if you match it with words of encouragement. Encouragement is powerful. Prayers are powerful. When you put them together in your life toward another person's life, that's when God works. That's when things happen. That's when you see answered prayers. The problem is many of you pray, but you don't give words of encouragement. You understand what I'm saying? You're only doing one thing and not the other. It's incomplete. When you see someone and you are praying for them and you give them words of encouragement, that's when things happen. So I encourage you to pray for people, write their names down, and also pick a few that God wants you to encourage in a positive way. Then the third thing we see is be a good listener. Listen to people. Galatians 6:2, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. You know, pride keeps us from helping people. Well, I don't have time to waste on that person. I don't have time to waste on this person. God says, you're a fool. You're a nobody. We share each other's burdens by listening to them, being positive, and praying for them. If you think you're too important to help someone, you are selfish and you are prideful. God says, you are a nobody in the kingdom of heaven. One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is an attentive ear, just to listen to them. And especially as a pastor, I've seen this bear fruit more than once, over and over again, because we need to confess our sins to God to be forgiven our sins, but we need to confess our sins to each other to find healing. When you listen to someone, you are saying, you matter to me. I care about you. You are of value to me. I want to help you. So we need to be a good listener. I believe I am a good listener because I have lived with four women. And pretty much, when you live with four women, I don't want to be biased or prejudiced, this is from personal experience, they do all the talking, I do all the listening. And even today, I am the designated ventee. So the women whom I love passionately are the ventors. They call me to vent at me. And they tell me their problems and work or at school or at home or with the kids. And I've learned just to listen because they need a listener. And if I can do that, just listen, you know, not play Candy Crush, you know, like, while I'm listening to them, you know, it makes a huge difference in life because I want someone to listen to me. So if I'm a good listener, I will find people to listen to me in my prayer group on Thursday night, or I call my brother and complain about my three daughters. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we have to have people who listen to us. I want to help people. And I've learned if I am a good listener, I will help people. I've learned to be patient. I've learned to listen and not say too much. And if you're a good listener, the way you become a good listener is you give them back encouraging words like, I think you did the best you could. Sometimes I repeat back what they say and say, man, it sounds like you had a rough day today. Well, you know, you're doing the best with your child. You know, it just takes time. I don't criticize, I don't condemn, but I try to give them encouraging words. And if I need to speak the truth, I will speak it with love. But one thing I do not do, and you should not do when you're listening, is just talk for the sake of talking. Some people think they have to say something. You know, no, you just need to listen. You know, if I go to someone who's dying or health problems or passed away, I never say they're in a better place. No, you don't say things like that. You just hold them and listen to them. If you don't have anything good to say that's helpful, I keep my mouth shut. I just hug them or listen to them Or sometimes, if someone had just passed away, I said, tell me about them. Tell me what you remember. You know, positive is good. Be a good listener. When you love people, and you're encouraging them, and you're praying for them, and you listen to them, they will tell you how to help them. They will tell you how to serve them, and that's when you know that God has brought you to that point where you can help them. But it's a process, you know, it takes some time. It takes some effort. Lastly, in order to help people, we need to be courageous. The problem with a lot of people is they are too afraid to help anybody. They're too afraid to say, can I have lunch with you? It looks like you're not happy today. Can we sit and talk? Most people are too afraid to help somebody. They're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid of saying the wrong thing. Guess what? We all make mistakes. We've all sometimes put our foot in our mouth. If you follow the words I just shared about being prayerful and being patient, all this stuff, you know, you can do it. But don't be afraid to make mistakes. Mistakes is how we learn. Most of us have gone through the school of hard knocks. We're just talking today about how many of us, the older generation, have had to learn through our mistakes. Today you just go on YouTube, right? YouTube and learn how to fix things. You know, I've learned from my mistakes. When the Apostle Paul first tried to preach, when he preached his first sermon, people wanted to kill him. I mean, they put their ears over their head, they were screaming, they got rocks and wanted to stone him. But yet he went on. He learned from his mistakes. I have shared the gospel with people. And sometimes when I shared with them, I came across confused. I didn't even know what I believed. Sometimes they came across like I was condemning them. They ran away shrieking because they didn't want to trust in Jesus because I was a horrible witness. But I've learned. I've learned to share. So if we have a good heart, if we know who our God is and we study God's Word, we can learn from our mistakes. The last time I shared my testimony was not too long ago. I was at a banquet and I have learned to share my testimony because I've done it many, many times. And I shared my testimony, I shared my story, and people listened. They were curious. They were fascinated. So be courageous. Don't be afraid to help people. If you need help, you get another person. You get someone like Larry or myself. We work with people many times. You get your small group. You don't have to do anything by yourself. But we need courage. Where does courage come from? Courage comes from our faith in God's plan. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for that hurt. He has a plan for your prayers. He has a plan for you. And God promises that if we work the harvest field, we will see the fruit. We will see that fruit sprout up and grow. We'll see eternity because lives are saved. We may see that fruit today in our lives. We may see it, not see it until tomorrow in heaven. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's a load, right? What is zeal? What is fervor? It's like emotion on steroids, you know? You know, you got it, you get it. You can make a difference in people's lives. And you can do it in God's power, in God's way, following God's plan. But at the same time, we don't run them over with our zeal because we have joy, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So love is our motivation, but love is also our method. There is no greater joy than seeing a person who has been transformed by God's power. Either their hurt has turned into a healing and they are now helping people, or they're just saved from the clutches of hell and into eternity. There's no greater joy. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to do good. He wants you to see those who are harassed and helpless. Jesus is our example. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life on the cross to save us from our sins, and he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. He calls you today to follow him, to believe in him, and not that you just believe in him, but you go in the harvest fields and you bring people with you to heaven that they may trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is our calling. That is our goal. That's why he made you with the feelings and emotions that you have. See, are you going to be a builder? Are you going to build up lives? Or are you going to be a barrier? Are you going to keep people away from God because you won't help them? Are you going to be a people builder or a people user? Stop wasting your life. Start living it for good. Think about those tomorrow when you go to work or school that you see who are hurting. Those in your family. Start praying for them. Start speaking to them in positive ways. Encourage them. Listen to them. And help them know that Christ wants to make a difference. It begins when you pray and you think about that one person and what you can do in their life. Let's pray. Father, we know that you called us to work the prayer, to work the harvest fields, to see with your eyes, to see people, even though they're hurting, they're helpless, they're harassed, they're full of sin and disobedience, to see the potential, Lord, to see the potential in their lives and think of them with positive terms, to pray for them, to listen to them, to encourage them. We just need to have faith in you, Father. We just need to be obedient to you. We need to believe in your plan and your power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Father, if there's someone here today, my brothers and sisters, and they've never touched a life, that they'll start thinking about it. And that they'll think about someone they can minister to. And maybe who can help them at work, another believer at work, to sit with this person at lunch, or to invite them to small group or to worship, but to be courageous and have faith and follow your plan, Father. Father, I pray that you put someone in everybody's life today that we can care about and love. And Father, is there someone here today who still is harassed and helpless? They're confused by their feelings and their direction. They need direction. I pray, Father, that they'll open their heart to you and trust in you today. For we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. If I can pray with you or encourage you in any way, come forward. If you have someone on your mind that you want to minister to, you want to share it with me, come on forward. Let's stand as we sing.